even now, Lord, as we come before you and sit under your feet to learn of you, we pray that, Lord, our mind, our heart, and our spirit, O Lord, be far away from the things of the world, and that our mind, O Lord, be drifted into that spiritual realm in heavenly places where we are now sitting under Jesus' feet, Lord, and looking towards you, Father, for you to come and break down the bread of life to us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And let us go to the book of Matthew. Now, I have last week we were talking about the confession of Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church and so on. Now, I want you just to recap something, because when I went back and to edit the video for the website, and something struck my mind. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 8. Just to show you something about the way that the Bible was written. Now, I want to tell you this, that the Word of God is really very special, and it is the way it was written. Alright, so I want you, when you come to church, please bring a Bible. Okay, not a PDA, not an iPad, you know, okay? But use a written page. Always use, when you come to church, use a written page. Another one, I want to screen on the screen the Bible verses for you, because a lot of people don't want to carry the Bible. Alright? So to tell you whether you are a student of God or a disciple of Christ, then you have to bring a Bible and open it. Remember that. Because in the book of Revelation, what did John saw? One sitting on a throne, and in his hand was a little book. Now, in the Bible, did not say in his hand was a little PDA or an iPad. Okay? God don't use electronic. Only that you find non-sequitur cartoons or something like that. Alright. So in the first book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 8, it says here, we read verse 7 onward. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be obedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. So I was just looking at this expression. The stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense. So, remember we're talking about how that Christ was a rock. And you understand that he said a stone here in the Greek word is litos. Litos means a little stone. So Christ came as a little humble little stone. Remember? Okay? And the word little in itself means a stumbling block, a stumbling stone in itself. So it's a stone of stumbling. A little rock. Now you don't trip over a big rock, do you? When you say a big rock, do you trip over it? You don't. You always trip it as a little rock. Right? So it's called a stumbling block, stumbling stone. But it's also called a rock of offense. Means that, now this rock here is from the Greek word petra. Means massive, big. So now when Christ was sent by God as a humble, you know, as a humble servant, you know, came to preach the word, born of a carpenter, you know, a carpenter, you know, and people call him a legitimate child and things like that, also, you know, king, very humble. So it was a rock of offense to them when he started preaching the word of God and said that I and the Father are one. Okay? But he is that rock. And if you can believe this rock, the revelation, and see who he is, then you will be part of Christ in that church of God. But otherwise, you look at it, it will be a rock of offense. Because to you, to those religious Jews, they are very offended by what Jesus said. Because to them it is blasphemy to say that I and my Father are one. To call himself the Son of God. You understand that? Because it's a big thing. So how can you call yourself that? Alright, so this is how the word is written by God to express something. So I just want to point that out. Alright, now go to Matthew chapter 16. We ended up with 20. Now let's go to verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So now After this incident, or the event that the disciples confessed that Jesus was the Christ, then Jesus began to expound and reveal more of his ministry that he must fulfill, the work that he must do. So watch what this verse says. From that time forth, Jesus began to show, to expound, to show the disciples how that he must go. He must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and he must be killed, and he must be raised again the third day. You know, Jesus expound all this to them. You know what? It's kind of hard, because when Jesus said that, the disciples, what do you think Peter was? I mean, as usual, Peter is a big man. You know, to hear what Jesus said, oh, you must go to Jerusalem, and there you must suffer many things at the hands of this elder and the priest and the scribe. Now, you know, when you go to Jerusalem, when you talk about the elder, the chief priest and all the scribe, you're talking about the religious people as well as people in authority and the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is a council of 70 people plus 1, 71. Okay, the Sanhedrin. Paul, before he was Paul, was an apostle, he was Saul, he was in the Sanhedrin, right? He was a Pharisee. Now, Sanhedrin make up of all these 70 people plus 1, who is the chief prince, or the chief priest. It traced back to the days of Moses. And God told Moses to choose 70 men to help him, right? So Moses together with the 70 is 71. But over the time of God, the Sanhedrin is not what it was in the days of Moses. Okay? Alright? It become, corrupt in the form is that they have taken the word of God, taken to a tradition and used the way they want to judge, the way that they judge. No longer they judge the way that with the authority of God, wisely, fairly, scripturally, so forth. Okay? So it becomes quite a different kind of council altogether. You know, after this Sanhedrin no longer exists. Actually, they tried to revive it after 70 AD when the Jews gathered, right? They tried to revive, but it never appeared. Okay? So then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Now, so when they were walking, and then, Peter said, push the Jesus to one side and says, no, it is far from you, Lord. It cannot be done. Cannot be. You know, among the 12 disciples, Peter was just coming up to him and just telling him that. And then Jesus turned around and looked at Peter and the rest of the disciples. And he rebuked Peter by saying this. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Imagine they were walking. After Jesus is fall off there, and walking, just like, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, I must be killed, and then I will be resurrected, and so on. Peter listened to it, went up to Jesus, no, this thing cannot be, you cannot go, you cannot do this. Jesus then turned around, looked at Peter, and said, get me behind me, Satan. Now, when Jesus turned around and looked at Peter and said that, he was not calling Peter Satan. Remember that. The word Satan means you devil. It's a devilish word that you are saying. You don't know what you are saying. Peter, you are using things, you are saying things that you do not know. And that is one thing about it, a lot of time, Peter did the same thing. You say to us that you don't even know what you are saying. You don't think before you say. And Jesus said, you don't know the work of God. You don't know the will of God. You don't know the plan of God. You only think you only think like a kind of man. That's what many of us think. Don't you know why the church of God, listen to me, brothers and sisters. As I said many times, this church is not a denomination. We are not organized. We are not like those churches out there. We are hearing, I'm hearing the word of God so that you can follow it the way you should. You should come to a place whereby you realize you should surrender your life to God. If you just be a Christian coming to church and say, I'm a Christian, brother, sister, you are yet to learn. Like Brother Henry was saying, You become a Christian, you find that the white dog and the black dog are always fighting the war. You will always be around. The black dog will not just pass away into oblivion. He will always be there. Well, like you said, he turned to a panda. He will attack you. But you know how to use the white dog to overcome it. You know one thing about it that you need. Now remember, we are talking about our Friday. About the Holy Ghost baptism. Isn't the same as being born again? Over the years, I've taught this, mentioned this many times, yet many of you still don't remember. Being born again on the Holy Ghost baptism, they are the same thing. They are not two different things. Alright, you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit baptizing into His body. You understand? You are not born again if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. Because it is the life of the Spirit that quickens your dead spirit and make you to be born again. Do you understand? It is not what denomination Pentecost will tell you. You're born again is when you have salvation. And Holy Ghost baptism is for you to do God a service. That is not what it is. If that is so, then all the Cornelius family, all the people in the Cornelius house, alright, the servant, the servant, the young man or woman, they all must all be serving Christ then. You know what I mean? They say, that's what they were teaching. That it is the power for service. It is not. So you, when you learn, please, why is it so important? As I said many times, cannot be overemphasized on this. And the study of God's word is important to your life. You need to know the plan of purpose for you in this hour. Huh? Not some kind of opinion that you have. I have all this other teaching that I told you about. It came in. We have this minister that was with us years ago. Back, I think, maybe 10, 15 years ago, before we were here. And we were fellowshipping Brother Jimmy's home at that time. We have this minister from America, himself and apostles, but his doctrine, I don't agree too much on that. He said, Brother, you are standing on thin ice by believing the seventh time there are seven men. I said, no. I said, brother, you are standing on thin ice. You know? And you know what he's been preaching? That there are two gospels. One, the gospel of Peter, one, the other, the gospel of Paul. Paul's gospel was to the Gentile, and Peter's gospel was to the Jew. And you know what? I heard recently, and it seems that it must have been on for quite some time. Because he believed that there are 13 foundations in the Holy City, New Jerusalem. When the Bible says 12, he says 13. Because as Paul was the 13th apostle. And I said, where was the foundation then? I said, where was the foundation then? He said, the foundation of Paul was inside the city, not on the side of the wall. He says, inside the city. What do you get then in the Bible? It's speculation. And you know what? Now it seems that the teaching goes from him. I honestly believe they must have come from him. Because he said that now in the hand of Jesus was a little book. So what? Why was the little book? So why did John cry? Why did John weep? Huh? And he believed that this little book in the hands of John, of the one sitting on the throne in heaven, the little book was the epistles of Paul. And John weep because he doesn't understand the mystery of Paul's teaching. You know, sometimes you wonder where all this idea comes from. It came from America. A lot of false teaching from your information started all the way from America. Now, how many American people are watching this video? Don't get offended. But you know what the prophet of God said. America is finished now. And that's a fact. America will be so proud, even in a minute, politically, that spirit creep over into the church. Now the spirit in the world is working. Work in the politics, the same people move into the economic system. Huh? Move into the military system, move into the religious system. And enter even among the people in the churches. And they don't even know what they have been. They were deceived into that state. And they continue to be proud. And say, you know, the one time somebody told me, he said, America produced Brother Branham. I said, hey, Asia produced Jesus Christ. You know, the way they talk. You see what I'm talking about? You know, because after all, Asia produced Paul, Peter too. Right? You know. America, Europe, they have their Luther, their Huxley. Yeah, they have all that. But don't talk about things like that. They make no sense. Don't use the pride to try to justify that you have more than what we have. Remember this. The prophet of God told us, and we all know very well, that the gospel moved with the sun. Right? Yes, the gospel from Israel went westward to Europe. Northwest, so to speak. From there, cross over the Atlantic, over to America. Is that right? From America now is turning, cross over the Pacific into Asia. That's the last and final act. Because God works in three. And after this, it will go back to Israel again. But you know what? In our Europe, this German minister said, that the gospel that was in America under Abraham and now went back to Europe. Ha! God backtrack. God don't backtrack. Do you hear what I'm saying? God move forward. Because every tops and shadows and topology, if you know what it says, what it teaches, you will see the truth in it. That's why God has given you a butterfly. If you have not read my book, you better go read it. From glory to glory. And I suggest the first book that you should read, if you have not read it, you better go back. And if you don't have the book, ask Brother Jimmy for it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Ghost baptism. Get the book and read it first, because it concerns you whether you are a child of God or not. Because many people still don't even know whether they are Christian or going to heaven or not, whether they have eternal life. Do you understand this? Alright. So now Peter then just said this, and Jesus said, you don't know what you are saying, Peter. So your eternal life, get in behind me, Satan. Satan was just put, you know, the counter thinking of Peter, you know. It was all because it was the spirit of the world that was filling him with all of this. But Peter meant well. Do you understand that? Peter meant well. He loved Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to suffer. He didn't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem being harassed by all these religious men and then seized and be killed and so on. You know, Peter was the same, but probably thinking that, well, you know, Lord, we want you to be a king. And now you know that the children of Israel, they are looking for a temporal kingdom. Do you understand that? They were thinking all about the kingdom of this earth. They didn't realize what Jesus, what God is doing. They don't know the plan of God. So, in verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, the rest of them all together, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Means to say, what do you mean by deny himself? Deny all your pleasures of this life. What you can achieve, what you want. What is most important in your life? What? Your career? You know, there are a lot, when I read the paper sometime in the interview or some of these people who are entrepreneur, young entrepreneur who make the first million within 2-3 years, right? And how all this, how this is when they were young, their mindset on making the first million within 5 years, and blah, 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 blah. So they all think in their head long, they work money till night, until they got head that they got sick, they're sick and all, they still push on. Just to make the million within the first 5 years. Right? Yeah. And others, I got it, the next amount of money I'm going to give me the next 5 years is 10 million. Then I can drive a Lamborghini. And all this, what is that all about in this life? A rat race. Like, have you ever think about your soul? A lot of people don't care about it. Say, oh, you know, I have friends say, don't talk to me about religion. When I'm older, I will think about God. When you think of, when you grow older, you think about God. At the age of 23, 24, 30 years old, you walk out the car, next car, the car, bam, you're dead. A car went out of control, hit you at the bus stop, you're dead. You got no chance to say you believe in God. Right? Arthur C. Clarke. Remember, you all know Arthur C. Clarke? Some of you don't know Arthur C. Clarke. He's a great scientist. He's the one that projected all those you know, thinking and fantasy, as you call it, but he's brilliant. That's why NASA followed his plan about building all those space things. Yes, he's got all the insight into all these things. He was a tall man, he went to Sri Lanka. He doesn't believe God, he's an atheist. He retired in Sri Lanka for many, many years. So one day he was, I think it was told that he was doing something, repairing something on the floor and all this, and he forgot that the door was shut. So when he got up too far, bam, he hit his head up there, he's paralyzed. Then only after that incident, he began to think about God. And he believed in God, but that's an agnostic, but he doesn't know about who's God. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. This life is not worth the living without Jesus Christ. You can earn your money, you can have a big houses and do whatever you want. You go into all this crazy fashion in the world. I can see people, you know, I see a lot of children going to, you know, you see young people. Yeah, they are working with them, going to work with a tie and all dressed and hair all punk around, standing up like a mohawk or whatever you call it, a porcupine there. I was asking these guys, how do you think your hair stands on end? They said, oh, it's not going to come out of jail. I mean, they're all fashion, you know what I mean? You know, but, you know, they're okay. They just want to go on, young people that are act all that. But, do you ever think about life? Real life, your soul, your spirit. Huh? You see? Because this world is rocking and shaking. Huh? Now, you see, there was famine in China. Have you so many parts of the world? Now, suddenly now, the typhoon and the cyclones start to come. Storms are coming. And they're going to get flooding. What happened? The food is going to get scarce. I tell you that. And the world will be in trouble. When will there be next big earthquake come? Big tsunami going to come? When? And we hear more of it. We hear of it more so often, huh? After the turn of the century. You know. Just before the turn of the century, in fact. After that, before that, we don't hear so much about it. But look at Japan, how terrible they are, what a bad shape they are now. You know, the Fukushima will never be stable anymore. Just like in Christchurch, it will never be stable. One scientist says that they will forever would have earthquake ever so often. They say, oh, Christchurch is gone. One of these days, there might be a sinkhole. For all you know, right under your flat. It opens up, the whole flat goes right in. The whole earth is shaking, it's tripling because of the sins of what men have created. Alright, so deny yourself and take up your own cross. That means your problem, your whatever you have, your burden, and follow after him. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So if you save your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus and for the gospel's sake, you will find. Now let's go over to the book of Mark 8:38. So here is one particular part that Matthew did not record. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Let's go back to Matthew. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angel, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some... Okay, we just stop there right now. So, Jesus Christ ministered a very simple thing. You want to be your my disciple, take up your own cross, deny yourself and follow me. If you choose to save your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake and for the gospel's sake, you will find. Simple. So we say, wow, what kind of man is that? But you need to know who he is. He's the Son of God. His life. Huh? It's not Buddha. It's not Nagalingam. Krishna. Kali. Huh? Whatever Kong, you know, in the Chinese, deity realm or system of religious belief. He is the author of life, and you just have to make a choice. If you don't believe in it, then you don't believe in it. Is that right? Okay? So verse 28, "Very I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Alright, let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said to them, "Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Now this is what I want you to know. Because in Matthew, it does say that till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But here, Mark is more precise. "There will be some of you standing here, they shall not taste them till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Alright, so just imagine now Jesus said that to the disciples, nobody else, only the disciples, the 12 of them. "Some of you standing here will not taste them till you see the Son of Man come into his kingdom with power." Now of course, I wonder, some of us wonder, wow, some of us not going to die, you know, when the kingdom of God comes, you know. And then verse 2, "And after 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter and James and John, and led them up into a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." Now I want to say this, that if you go to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, what Mark said is exactly what Peter remembered. Because he heard what Jesus said. Mark recorded it down. But the other disciple, I mean, Matthew did not write it down, nor did Luke wrote it down. But Peter heard what Jesus said, and just as well as Mark wrote it down. Okay? 2 Peter 1:16. You find that verse there. Is that alright? "The kingdom of God come with power. For we have not followed cunningly devised fable when we have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Okay, that's just a reference because we don't remember that. Okay, now let's go back to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 2 now. "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and went up to high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." Now let's go to Luke 9 now. Luke chapter 9. Okay, Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. "And it came to pass about an 8th day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." Here we have the other gospel wrote after 6 days. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Here Luke says, about 8 days. So, is there anything controversial here? Now, if we say after 6 days, the 7th day, would it not be? Sure. About 8 days is nearly to 8 days. So we want to look at a very interesting fact. You look at this picture of the transfiguration. Right. But look at the picture by what you have been reading all the time. Perhaps you have read this before, you know this before. I may ask you, when did the transfiguration take place? Morning? Afternoon? Evening? Or night? We all know about transfiguration. But nobody ever find out. Study the time, when was it? What time was it? Okay, but we'll go on. But just remember, after 6 days is the seventh day. Above 8 day means near to 8 day. Okay? There you will know. Alright, let's go. Now, Luke chapter 9, verse 4 says that, and there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. When Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus in the transfiguration, they were talking. What were they talking about? They were talking. Alright. So now let's go to the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 28, back there again. In verse 29, and as he prayed, the fast now, they went up to Mount Transfiguration. Why is this Mount Transfiguration? If anybody knows that answer and can tell me where it is, I'll give you $100. Anybody knows what Mount Transfiguration is? If anybody says he knows, he's a liar, because nobody knows. Okay? We all know that where was Jesus Christ when he was asking the disciple, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? When the question was given to them in chapter 16, where were they? Don't you remember? Oh my. Where were they? They were in Caesarea of Philippi. Right? In the north of the Dead Sea. I mean not the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee. Okay, far off. No. Not in Capernaum. Where off? Okay, you don't forget, you forgot your place. Ah, oh, my goodness. Lord, I don't know what people is like here. Alright. You need to remember, you're supposed to be a student of the Word of God. Okay. So, where were they? They were somewhere in the mountain. On the eastern side. Of the river Jordan in the north of Sea of Galilee. Somewhere in one of those mountains. Jesus took them. Alright. After they had passed from Caesarea Philippi, they went up to one mountain. Now Jesus always liked to go to a mountain to pray. Okay? You understand? The Garden of Gethsemane is also on top of a mount. Do you understand? Okay? So doesn't mean, okay, Jesus go to mountain to pray, you go find a mountain to pray. Don't go to Bukit Timah or someplace like that. You don't have to. But it's just in those days, just be more relaxed. People have free time, just go out there, being alone in the nature and in quietness, in surrounding, and pray and worship God. Alright. So, now, when they went up there, and this vision appeared, I mean, this transfiguration took place, and Moses, and we're talking with Jesus Christ. So, what were they talking about here? He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening, and behold, they talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake. Here they were talking about his death, his decease, because Jesus already told his disciples, I need to go to Jerusalem. Will be harassed by those elders and the scribes and the chief priests. Then they will kill me, and then, well, the third day will rise again. So, Moses and Elijah in the transfiguration came and talked to Jesus. Do you understand? And they were talking about his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, the word disease in your Bible comes from the Greek word exodus. You understand? What book in the Bible is called Exodus? First book, second book, third book, fourth book? Second book of the Bible is called Exodus. But you don't find that in Hebrew because it's not a Hebrew word. You never find the word Exodus in the Old Testament. The word Exodus means disease. The word disease means to pass out. Pass over, pass away, gone away. You understand? That's what I mean by the word Exodus. Alright. To move away or departing. So he will be going to Jerusalem and he will be departed from us. Alright. Now, we continue now. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. So the transfiguration took place and they were woken up by this bright light because they were sleeping. And so if they were sleeping, what time was it? Because Jesus Christ usually probably took them up in the afternoon and the evening somewhere to pray, and then we were talking and they're discussing something, and as the evening comes, you know, and they're already tired. Jesus was always praying. So Jesus might be praying for a long time. It was his passion, just pray. You know, and the disciples say, oh Lord, we are tired, but we may not sleep somewhere. Just as Jesus got when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his last of his passion, and the disciples were all sleeping. So when this transfiguration took place, it was in the night. Most likely, 9 p.m., between 9 p.m. and 12. You know. Okay? They were already tired, they're sleeping. They have probably have eaten. They have probably carried some food they have eaten and heavy and probably went to sleep. They were praying, yeah, they were praying with Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus' master praying, so they pray. But when they pray, they went to sleep. And I think many of us do that, huh? Isn't it true?
Not long.
He went to sleep. The disciples went to sleep. The three of them went to sleep. Now, the question is, why did Jesus Christ pick Peter, James, and John? Always remember this. Very simple to remember. Why only he took these three, not the rest? He only took these three. In my sermon on the glory to glory, you find your answer. Peter, James, and John. Always in that order. Peter, James, and John. Faith, hope, charity. Exactly what the Bible teaches. Faith, hope, charity. Peter was faith. He's always a man who's always full of faith, right? James was a man always talked about hope. He read this piece, so you know. And John is known as a beloved disciple. He's talking about love. Look at his epistle, you'll find. So in this three representation, Mark, the transfiguration of Jesus Christ represents, he says that the kingdom of God come with power. When Jesus was talking to the disciple one time, and among the people, and the describes and all these things, you know, talking about the kingdom, all this, and then Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Right, you are sitting right now here. The kingdom of God is within you. So what is he talking about? Huh? This is the kingdom of God coming with power. You shall see the kingdom of God come in power. That transfiguration was the kingdom of God come with power. It was to show, you know what transfiguration is? Transfiguring. So it comes from the word to change. Do you understand? Huh? Yeah, it came from the word metamorphose. It's the same word. It's a change. Transformation. Change. When you transfigure, you transform. Huh? Yes. Now, that's the reason why when the Spirit of God comes in your life, you will be changed. When the Spirit of God comes in your life and you are changed, it gives you the power to become sons of God. It changes in your life. So that transfiguration was what Christ was showing them. You see? And the disciples were sleeping. They were wake up by this bright light in the darkness. They wake up and they saw Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus Christ. And they were talking to him about his death and all this, you know. You know who Moses represents? He represents the law. He will have the law. He's the Old Testament prophet. Elijah represents grace. Got it? He represents the prophet. He always represents the one that prophesied among all the other prophets about the coming of the Messiah. Moses was the lawgiver, that's why the children of Israel always talk about Moses and the law and so on and so on. Okay? That's why Jesus must fulfill the law, he must fulfill the prophet. That's why Jesus said, the law and the prophet were unto John. And after that, Jesus came. No more law, but just grace. The prophetic work will fulfill in Jesus Christ, the law will fulfill in Jesus Christ. You got it. Okay? So now, when they woke up, let me get it. Mark and Luke, sorry. Peter and the other were with him, very heavy with sleep. They was very tired, huh? And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed, as they were departing. That is to say that Elijah and Moses in the vision were departing, going off. going away from him. Pilate said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. Ah, then we find that in Mark chapter 9, also, verse 6, for he wished not what to say, for they were afraid. Now Peter is always the big mouth. Right? But he was bold, that's why he just speak. But the problem with Peter is that he speak without thinking. Huh? The mouth is faster than the mind. Got it? And the Bible says he don't know what he said. Speak without thinking. It's a problem with many people. I want you to see what we can learn from the lesson here. A very important lesson. Over the years this church has grown. But over the years many people are still the same. Still talking the same without thinking. I want you to be obedient to the word of the Lord, not to any other thing. And think before you speak. Now, when I preach in many countries, you know, many places, and they were even discussing, they will interrupt and they will just speak. They don't think. As soon as sometimes I told them, you want to learn? Sit and learn. And listen. Not because you want to speak, and you speak out of turn like Peter. I mean, he could just keep quiet, right? I mean, they were afraid, yeah. Okay. But, oh Lord, you know, it's good, you know. It's good. We meet three times, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. What? I mean, Peter always meant well. But being, you know, he may mean well, but it's not what God wants. Do you see what I'm talking about? You see. Like I said this before, many times we try to correct the church. About coming late. A lot of people don't like to be told not to come late. They say I'm nagging. To how to dress proper, they think I'm nagging. You know what I think? God is watching you. God is watching you. How obedient you are to Him. Listen to what the Word of God says here. While he passed back, there came a cloud. Okay, we better go to Matthew 17, it's better. Let's go to Matthew 17. Okay, Matthew 17, verse 5 to 9. While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son. Now, in the other version he says, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him, right? But in this one here, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You hear him. Hear ye him. Wow. You see, sometimes we want to have our opinion. We won't listen. It's a sad case because sometimes I have a relations association with some of these ministers from overseas. Well, you know, either physically face to face with them or perhaps through the email. And some of them are so haughty, you know, so prideful. But there are others that will respect me, keep quiet. If they don't agree with my teaching, they keep quiet. But there are those that don't. And many of that spirit went over because this country, a European country, American, Canada, they will all go to Africa, you know, India, even to the Philippines and propagate their teaching. And sometimes when we met and they will just look at me and they say something, you know, you can see on the internet when I post a picture in Ghana, I was confronted at the table. And I wrote some words. There was a time when You know, those days the photograph was all in print, huh? Okay? So I had this photograph kept with me, and I have to remember what happened, transpired. I wrote some talk words down there, what they spoke. Okay? Right in the following morning, after what I preached the day before, they came in the morning for breakfast and started questioning me. Wow. Very hard. I stood my ground. To this day, what happened to this man? The man I thought in the picture you can see on the left, in the picture later, if you go to the internet, he's no longer around. He was so much against me. All for brother, brother. Being such a brother of mine. But what happened to him today? There's no way. The other one, I have no idea. You don't know your foundation, then you have a problem. Now what did Jesus say? If you build a house on sand, it's a sinking sand. Sand will shift. Right? Yeah, nothing. You build your house upon a rock, it's sand. And I'm building my house upon the rock of the Word of God for years. And you come, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it will not be moved. Right? It will not be moved. You see? So now the word from heaven says, hear him. So you started to learn. God is telling the disciples, learn, listen to him. Now this is why we need to listen to the word of God. Because Jesus, he is the word of God manifest to us, right? Yes, in the flesh, and now in the revelation of himself. By the word. It's not some traditional thing that we are here, you know, getting ourselves involved in. Huh? The system of the church is gone, it's dead. They're all singing sand. So don't open your mouth until you know what you are. You know what you believe. What? How certain you are when you reply when something is said. You may have your opinion. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Years ago, you know, we have fellowship in Brother Jimmy's home. We all went to that home. Of course, we all go barefooted. Correct? But still, doesn't mean that when you go to the home for fellowship, you wear slippers. Just because you wear slippers, because you take a shoe off. And you go to church, and then people say, where are you going? I'm going to church. Oh, you're going to church with a slipper on. You understand what I'm talking about? Isn't it silly? You know? So that's the way how we approach God, how we come to the house of God is important. As I said this many times. You come to church, you're coming to meet who? The King of Kings. You're coming into His presence. You're coming into His house. He's the Master. He's the Lord. He's the President. Whatever you want to call Him. But He's God. And yet, if we don't come to the house in the right attitude, how we approach Him, then God is looking at us. Our behavior. What we think about Him. Your action shows what you think about Him. Do you agree with that?
Sure.
You see. Alright? Let's continue. Verse 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they went down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Okay. When they came out from the mountain, Jesus Christ told them, how many disciples were there? How many of these disciples were with him? One, two, three, or 12? Oh, you remember when talking about disciples, don't think that there were 12 of them. Only those three, huh? Okay. So, tell the vision to no man. Remember, it was a vision. Do you get it? An interesting part about it, vision always happens to many people, huh? And when they are a bit in the drowsy and sleepy state, rather than being awake, really wide awake. Very few people have experienced vision wide awake. They are either in the sleeping, in the night vision, they have a vision at night, there's a dream, or they woke up sleepy and then have a vision. You know what I mean? So it was a vision. It did not happen. Jesus Christ was not literally taken up and with the disciples, with Moses and Elijah literally coming to talk to them. Do you understand? It's a vision. Got it? Alright, so tell the vision to no man. Because Jesus was not completely physically changed, huh? Transformed and transfigured, body was completely changed. Because when you change, you don't change back. You understand? When God give you, in the future when Christ transform your body, you have a spiritual glorious body, right? You don't revert back to the natural. Do you understand? So it was a vision showing that body, Christ's body was changed. Do you understand? That was known as a transfiguration, a transformer, transformation, to which every one of us is now experiencing from inside. And to the day when the whole kingdom is come, then every one of us will be changed on the outside. Remember this, God works from inside out. Yes, just like the caterpillar. How you turn to a butterfly? You're going to take the green in, and the green that's working inside, change it to make it bigger, bigger, until what takes in comes out as a silk. Not being royal, just not the word of God. We are eating, and this word of God is wrapping us, keeping us, protecting us. The world outside cannot see what's going on, but there is a transformation inside. And one of these days, when early in the morning, when the sun rises, then we will change. Our body will be changed, and we'll meet Christ in the air. Okay? Alright, now let's go on. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So don't tell anybody about this until I have risen from the dead. Tell the vision to no man, that includes the rest of the disciples. So it was secret. The whole three of them. Don't tell to nobody else, not even the other disciples. Fair or not fair? Not fair. Not fair. You know, God cannot show truth to anyone who is not deep in love with Him and have the same spirit as Peter, James, and John. Faith, hope, charity. You must have faith in Him. But have the faith of God, the revelation of who God is, the hope that is coming to change you, and the charity, the love that you have of God in your life to others. Somebody wrote me an email. He's not a Baptist believer. He wrote me an email, a nice email. He said, I came across a website. I want to tell you. He gave me his name, and he said, you know, I came to a website by accident. Somehow I was Googling, and you know, I don't agree with denomination, and I find every place I go to fellowship, I have problem with the churches because of the teaching. It doesn't, it's not even right with the Word of God, especially now that the churches are even just wow, you know. But I came to a website by chance, somehow, whatever, and he said, you know what, the first time I knew about this man, William Branham. You know, what is that? I read your articles, and it blesses me. But there's one thing that I seem very hard to grasp, the doctrines of the rapture. He said, because I don't see any place in the Bible that talks about a pre-trib travel, a pre-trib rapture. You know, a pre-tribulation, huh? Rapture. And he said, before the tribulation comes, the rapture will take place. I don't find any place in it. You know? And you know that teaching has become very widely preached nowadays in the last 20 years ago. Okay? And I studied where these people have their opinion, why they believe that there is no rapture until after all the church will go through all the problems of the world and Christ will come. You know? So I told the man, please read these four articles of mine. I give him these four books, you know, listed there in the website for him to read. I said, read it and understand, because the rapture is a secret, but types and shadows will show you the truth. And that's why a lot of people do not. I said, I told him I do not believe in the rapture that is being taught by the denomination. Why Christian just disappear like that? I don't believe in that. Because the rapture is a secret. And it's must, you have to be watchful. You got it? Okay, so you need to have faith, hope and charity, just like that. Not fair. Okay, so if you want to draw yourself closer, Jesus, you draw close to me, I draw close to you. You know, many times Christ come and comfort us. Sometimes father, mother come and comfort the child. You just push them aside. You know what I'm saying? We are all sulking, we are upset. Many of the time we are upset too. Yeah, I mean, I do, you know, because I'm human, you know. So Bible said Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a man of like passion like us. He too will have his kind of frustration and feeling. And one moment you are so, you know, powerful and even, you know, caught fire down from heaven, caught the rain to stop and so on and so forth, right? Next moment, a woman wanted to kill him. He ran away from the woman and hid himself in the cave. Right? You see? Yeah, feeling an emotion of frustration and moment of weakness. Yes, I know we all do. But we need to say, oh, sure, I said, Lord, yes, I am. I'm sorry. It's just this frustration. You know that because you've been through. Yes, but the strength. Strengthen me. Give me the strength to go on. And you will. Alright, let's finish off that. Verse 10. Okay, let's go to Mark 9. Verse 10 first. Let's go to Mark 9 and verse 10. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Interesting, huh? Because Jesus said that after the days of rising, but rising, what is that all about? Because they didn't know that Jesus Christ, the very Messiah they looked for to give them the kingdom, they didn't realize that there are two comings of the Messiah. The first time he comes is to die for their sin. Right? Then when he comes the second time, is to give them the kingdom. And so they didn't know what it means by all rising from the dead again. So they questioned themselves. Alright, so let us go right now to Matthew 17, verse 10 onwards. And his disciple, now as they walk down, now the disciple asked them, why then say the scribe that Elijah must come first? So as they came over the mountain and they were saying, why did the scribe say that Elijah must come first? You know? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John Baptist. Now, every Jew would know, according to the Old Testament of Malachi, okay? Go to Malachi. We want to close with this question. Malachi, chapter 4. This chapter 4 is the chapter that closes out the whole of the Old Testament era, so to speak, of the Old Testament prophets. Because Malachi was the last prophet. Okay? Now there is a very interesting book here, and the denomination don't agree because they don't see it. They keep on saying, you know, all prophets of God were to the Jews only, and all the prophecy were only to the Jews only, nothing for the Gentiles. I beg your pardon. That's what they were taught. Huh? We all know that the prophecy came through, the oracles of God came to us through the Jew, right? Right or not? But if it came to us through the Jew, then the Gentiles, we are the dogs, must be mentioned somewhere in the Old Testament. Right? And you find that in the book of Isaiah. You find that in the book of Joel. You talk about the light. You understand? That God will give the Gentiles the light through Israel. So in though it wasn't mentioned very much, But just a couple of verses scattered throughout the Old Testament. You understand that? But also when God made the covenant with Abraham, He told Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. Amen. Hey, what does that mean? So God promised Abraham a son. And he was waiting for that son. Right? And he was looking for the son. Of course, when Isaac was born, that was the son. Oh yeah, that was the physical one. But when God promised him, He promised him more than a physical one. Is that not right? Huh? Abraham, look at the sand on the seashore. Count them if you can. You can't count sand. Now count the star if you can. One is earthly, one is heavenly. The sand represents the physical nation of Israel. The star represents the spiritual children of God. Right. And I'll make you father of many nations. Israel is only one nation with 12 tribes. But the world and many other nations. The Chinese, the Indian. Right? The African. The Filipinos, the Australian, the Papua New Guinea, all. So how can they say that Malachi had nothing to do with us? It has to do with us. Because that was the closing book of the prophets' era. Closing everything up with the promise. And it goes over in book, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. 2:1 I'll send Elijah, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The second one, I'll turn the hearts of the children back to the father. Now, denomination, tell you this. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. Here was the angel that talked to John's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Verse 17. And John, that is your son, when he grew up, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children. Right? Yes. So that's fulfilling Malachi. The same part. And the disobedience to the wisdom of the just. That is what denominations are very, very smart. When you show them that the second part of Malachi's prophecy of the turning of the heart of the children to the father were not fulfilled by John the Baptist, they say, no. The Lord knows. Okay? So John the Baptist did fulfill it. So, well, show me. Okay, they turned to Luke 1:17. You see, he says, turn the heart of the father to the children. And then he turned the disobedient. Disobedient means the children. The wisdom of the just means the father. I said, is that so? So why can't the angel just say exactly what Malachi said? If John were to fulfill those two. Those disobedient. Doesn't mean the children are all disobedient. To the wisdom of the just. Doesn't mean all the old men are wise. And the just, so-called just what you call the scribe and the Pharisee, because they're supposed to be the justified one. I mean those that are considered righteous. You think that they are really wise? You see, John only fulfilled one. And this is why God wrote the Bible, so that those wise and intellectual people, educated people from the seminaries, from the Bible school, theological Bible school, they think that they can interpret that like that. God hid His word in mystery. And He don't intend for the people of the world just to know it. Because He will send His minister, His powerful ministry, to open it up. As long as you are in a system, you teach tradition, your eyes are blind. That's the why I left the denomination. Because I was so blinded, I keep on following. But I thank God for the message of truth. Come out! And when you come out, this Bible became a totally new Bible. You don't see it the way that you see it in denomination. If you are in denomination today, you will still see what they see. Do you understand that? So, when we look at that, you ask yourself a question. When they asked Jesus, the scribe said Elijah must come first. Jesus said, yeah, Elijah did must come. Surely must come first. Surely shall first come. Surely shall first come. But I say unto you, that Elijah is already come. Huh? And his disciple knew they were talking about Jesus. I mean about John the Baptist. Right? That is true. But the Bible said here, the question, in verse 11 of Matthew 17, Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. What is this restoration of all things? Restoration of all things. And restore all things. Now, through the Branhamites, oh, Brother Branham came. He was the one who fulfilled the second part. Yes, we know he fulfilled the second part. Because he turned the children of God in this last church age back to the faith of the apostolic father. Yes, isn't that true? I was called out. I was a child of God. And we are those of us who we all turned into, we are all children of God. We were turned back to the heart, our heart was turned back to the faith of the apostolic father. Is that alright? But the brother Abraham restored all things. The John restored all things. And if you say they did, tell me what are all things that they restored. John the Baptist, he came, he just preached, right? Isn't it? And declared the one who is to come. After him, whose shoe leather he was not worthy to unloose, but he was before me, he said that. Is that right? Behold, the Lamb of God which taken away the sins of the world. So what did he restore? All things. What all things? If all things were restored, would not it be that children of Israel would have been okay? Didn't. Brother came. The brother must he restored all things. What all things? All doctrines. Is that so? That's not true. He revealed all mystery. Revealing all mystery is not the same as revealing as restoration of all things. But what are the all things or revelation the Prophet Ben revealed? There's so many things the Prophet Ben didn't teach. That's the reason why the Branhamites until today after Prophet Ben died 65. Until now, more than 40 years. What have they been? Many of them are fallen away. Backslidden, back to the world, confused. Why? Because they are not stabilized by the Word of God. And if you are not born again, it means you will not hear the Word of God. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is coming in you, right? Okay? What did he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? He said, he will guide you and lead you into all truth. And bring you all things into remembrance. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't lead you into tradition or into any kind of opinion. He will lead you into his Word. But the Branhamite says otherwise. The Soviet had a bunch of problems. Do you understand? And they can call me anything they like. Because I'm not a preacher of Brother Branham. I'm a preacher of God. I preach God's word. I don't preach Brother Branham's word. Brother Branham did not restore all things. John the Baptist did not restore all things. Who would that be that will restore all things? Because one more verse, we close. Go to the book of Acts. I just think about this. So I need to touch on this anyway. Acts. Let me see if I can find that restitution of all things. Okay, the Acts, they should be in Acts 3 someplace. Yeah, okay, chapter 3, verse 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. When the heaven must, verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Right? He said, Jesus must remain in heaven, he will not come back until everything is restored. What are the things that need to be restored? This is spoken of to the children of Israel, the Hebrews. They are the Jews. Okay? They are looking for the Messiah, Christ to come. But say, he will return until all things are restored. That's the reason why there are five comings of Elijah. Elijah, Elisha, with the double portion in Elijah's spirit, John the Baptist, was in the spirit of Elijah. Is that not right? The fourth one was William Branham, who fulfilled Malachi 4. Also, he is spirit of Elijah because he was just. All these righteous spirits are all wild men. They are men of the wilderness. And there's a fifth one to come. Who is that one? This one. The Elijah. This Elijah will have the same Elijah spirit of the first Elijah. That's why there will be two men that will come out. According to the book of Revelation, two witnesses. One is the spirit of Moses, the other is the spirit of Elijah. When they come, they will be in Israel preaching to them. Do you understand? Okay, because the Malachi spirit, the Elijah spirit in the book of Malachi, deals mainly with the Jew. But in parallel, the church are involved because the hearts is what God deals with. Do you understand? With the word of God that's in the heart. So God don't write the hearts upon tablet of stones anymore. He wrote it in the hearts of men. But the Jew, they were so in tradition, God had to send up prophet John the Baptist to turn them back. You understand? To turn their heart to the faith of the children, that the gospel was preached to them by John. Those that believe in John were children of God. So those traditional people, the religious leader, their heart was so hardened, they should be turned back to this faith, this new faith. But now these children of Israel, or children of John the Baptist, they were disciples. Okay? They followed Jesus Christ also. And they grew up. And some of them, of course, they became apostles. So they became the apostolic father. But when the church started, after many years down the road, the church was in a mess. They're no longer having the true faith. The heart was in tradition. So God sent a prophet, William Branham, with a message come out of her. And he fulfilled Malachi, turning the heart of those that have ears to hear God's children to turn back to the faith, back again to the apostolic faith. No longer, don't follow the tradition. Don't follow the churches. That is what it's all about. Do you understand? And after the church is gone, two witnesses will come. And they will be in Israel. And they will preach. And when they preach, Elijah is to come and make them to understand all these things. Restore them, make everything complete known to them. So that they will be able to receive the Messiah. Do you understand? Alright, let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you Lord for this time and fast running out. And we thank you for your grace upon us, O Lord. Asking that you touch, O Lord, the ears that have heard the word of God. And we pray that, Lord, your spirit will continue to work in each and every one of our life, Father. And for those that were here in this video or the audio, Father, we ask that you bless them too, Father. Grant us grace, Lord, in this life and continue to strengthen us in our walk with Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.